Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. God bless you on tonight. God bless you. Yes, you got to have faith. Amen. We would like to welcome you here, Praise Tabernacle Church, Tuesday night Bible study. And we thank God that once more and again, we have the opportunity to share the good news of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity. We would like to thank God for Elder Derek Oliver and Lady Keisha Oliver, and for the Chaos Blog Talk Radio program that's awarding us this opportunity to share our Tuesday night Bible study with you. This is Praise Tabernacle Church. We are located at 877 North Clayton Street, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. And this is yours truly, your brother, Pastor Omar Zachary. Once again, we have such a great Bible study for you on tonight. Well-prepared leader in the woman, in the person of Evangelist Dove Stanton. She's going to be leading us into our Bible study on tonight. We also have our normal but exciting panel of leaders, our president of the Elders Council, Elder Richard Taylor, he's here. I think Elder Victor Bluett is the president of our Sunday School department. He should be chiming in. My lovely wife should be chiming in, and whomever else. Amen. But we just thank God that where there's two or three gathered in his name, he promised to be in the midst. So without further ado, we're going to say a quick word of prayer, as we normally would do. And then the next voice you would hear will be from that in the person of Evangelist Dove Stanton. Fathers, in Jesus' name, we thank you for tonight. And we pray now that you will touch our hearts and minds, that we will receive what the Spirit is saying unto the church on tonight. Yes, teaching easy. Crown the woman of God's head, wisdom and knowledge. Give her what
good evening. Well, can you hear me, Pastor? I'm sorry, but you kind of went out of. I'm sorry.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. In the midst of all the turmoil that's going on in the world, God, we just thank you so much for knowing that us being able to know that you still got us in your hands. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and every heart Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Evangelist.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor. Good evening, everyone. We are so excited that you decided to join us on tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. I would like for you to get your Bibles and your pencil and paper, and we are going to be coming from 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21. Once again, that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21. And as you look for 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21, tonight we are going to be talking about love. Tonight we are going to be talking about love. It's going to be a little bit deeper than you just love that good sandwich that you're eating, or you love when somebody likes a post on your Facebook page. It's going to be a little bit deeper than that. There are many people that may even be listening on tonight that don't feel like they're loved. They feel unimportant, unworthy. They may even feel unlovable. And then you have people who say that they do love, and they feel worthy and everything, but they don't love their brother. They don't love others. So tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, you know, people that may have been hurt or mistreated and talked about, and so they don't feel love. And what happens sometimes is we begin to look at God how we look at people. You know, we feel like, how could God love us because people don't love us? But I just want to encourage you tonight that God isn't like people. God isn't like people. So once again, we're going to be going to 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21. And the word reads, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." We are going to begin with that first verse, chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son
to be the propitiation for our sins. That verse alone has a lot in it. It has a lot in it. Here is real true love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God loved us before we were even born. He loved you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He loved you then, and he loves you now, that he sent his son to be the propitiation for us. Now, I looked up the meaning of that word, and the simplest way that I can say this is, he gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. Every sin, everything that you did wrong, Christ, God loved you so much that he gave his son, Jesus, life for you. Now, let that sink in a little bit. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you before you came forward. He knew who you were going to be. He knew the actions of your mind and your heart, but he still loved you, and he gave his only son so that you could be redeemed, so that you could live, so that you could love, so that you can be that example of Christ in the earth. That's how much he loved you. That's a powerful, powerful statement about love. And I think we take it too lightly. You know, I think we take that love too lightly. We think we're not loved because the way that people treat us sometimes. But I want you to remember on tonight that God loved you so much that he gave of himself for you. Does anybody on the panel have anything they'd like to say about verse 10?
Ooh, you working. I'm enjoying this so far. My God, I'm good.
Amen. Amen. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Since God loved us so much and sent his son to die to cover the cost of our sins, who are we not to love somebody else? Who are we to stand in judgment if you know, we run across them and they have a bad attitude? Who are we to say, you know what, I can't love that person because of who they are? Who are you? Do you get up every day and read your word? Do you get up every day and pray? Do you get up every day and you walk in happiness or joy every single day? Do you get up smiling every day no matter what? You may have a rough day. You want somebody to have some grace and mercy with you. Who are you not to extend that grace and mercy just as Christ extended it to us by giving his unconditional love through his sacrifice of his son? That's what God has called us to do. We've got to love one another. We've got to love and learn how to love unconditionally just as he did. He gave us the example. We have a living example before us, and God has called us to do the same. Does anyone on the panel have anything to say about verse 11?
Wow. Wow. Go ahead, my sister. Lord, I tell you what, go ahead. I'm good. Go ahead.
Amen. Verse 12. Once again, we are in 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21. And verse 12 reads, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So see, we haven't actually seen God. However, God love allows humanity to see him through the action of his people. Let me say that again.
Right. Right.
We haven't God. But God's love allows humanity to see him through the action of his people. If you say that you are Christian, people are supposed to look at you and see the representation of God. They're supposed to see the representation of God through you. The believer experiences God's love inside of them, offering us everything we need to live for him and to love others. We do not need to seek another experience, person, or teaching. We just need to seek what God has called us to seek in the Word of God and to show that example of love to others. So we're supposed to be that example that people see, even though none of us have seen God, even though, you know, we believe and we know that he exists because of that belief. But people who don't know that should look at us and see that representation of God. Does anyone have anything they want to say about verse 12?
Yeah, my sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Thing that the scripture that comes to mind, y'all let me know if I go off. I'm out here getting my walk on. And I often quote this scripture, and it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And my daddy used to say it this way. He would say, "Your love for me is no good if you don't have love towards me." And one thing that we often get caught up in, especially when we have our fleshly moments, and it's for the church, you know, it's for those of us that are saved. This is one thing that no doubt I've said it a few times. We would say, "I'm going to love you from a distance." You know, when a person has got under our skin and may have done certain things that causes us to look at them a little different, you know, we'll say, "I love you, I love you, I love them from a distance." And what you're talking about tonight just simply brings back to our mind, what if we did, or what if God did us the way that we do people?
Right.
And that's what we got to think about. You know, life isn't easy. You know, we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. But we also must never forget whom our example is. And our example is Jesus. You know, he's our example to the point that while he was dying, he still said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was love. You know, that was, how many of us could forgive a person that's stabbing us, you know, that's cutting us up, that's beating us, that spit on us, that puts a crown of thorns on our head, that mocks us, and we can still forgive them, you know? And right. The truth of the matter, you know, we haven't been persecuted like Christ. We haven't been, you know, rebuked and scorned like Christ. And even if we were done similar to that, I mean, we was born in sin, so rightfully so, right. We deserve that. But he knew no sin. He was perfect. He loved everybody. He knew no sin, but he took on our sin debt. That's the reason why he came. When you said he's the propitiation for us, you know, he stood in our place. And that's, I mean, man, what a love that agape, not that filial, but that agapeo love that he has for us. And we should practice and pursue that same type of love for the world and for humanity. So, yeah, you're doing a great job. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. I
wanted to emphasize, especially to people who feel like they're not loved. I mean, God loves you. If there's anybody in the listening audience on tonight and you said those words, you know, why don't anybody love me or why am I not loved? I want to share with you and encourage you on tonight. You are loved. You got up today. You got health and strength in your body today. You're listening to us by radio or telephone or some kind of method that you must have some type of electricity wherever you at or you're moving about, but you are loved. And Christ gave his life for you. So you are loved. And I want you to begin to just speak that love over your life. Even this 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, just to speak it over your life. If you need to write it on a napkin and put it on your mirror, if you need to write it on a piece of paper and just put it in your car, or if you're walking, however you're getting around, and just remind yourself that God does love you. Before we go on to our next verse, which is verse 13, we're going to take a quick break. Elder Oliver, let's go ahead and take a quick break, sir. Thank you. That you joined us for our Tuesday night Bible study. We thank you for partaking with us on tonight in the Word. We would like to give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the ministry at Praise Tabernacle Church. There are two ways that you can give. We just ask that you give from your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. The amount is whatever God lays upon your heart. You can give by Cash App, or you can give by PayPal, debit, or credit card. Our Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by PayPal, debit, or credit card. Our church office number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. We thank you, and we are excited that you're with us on tonight. Tonight we're talking about love, that agape, true love. We are coming from 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21. And now we are at verse number 13. And it reads, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit." That is an awesome thing, to know that we have the Spirit of God to dwell in us.
Amen. Amen.
Because you know what? Do it. Without his spirit, we can't love unconditionally without the spirit of God.
All right.
Think about it. And Elder Taylor recently ministered on this. Think about it, trying to do it on your own. You can't do it on your own because you're too fickle. Mm-hmm. You can't love unconditionally on your own because you're going to talk about somebody faster than you're probably going to love them, to be truthful, honest.
Yes.
So, it takes the Spirit of God to dwell inside of you to say, you know what? I'm going to purge those things out of you.
Yes.
So that look at that person differently with the love of God. Does anybody have anything they want to say about verse 13?
Well, you hit it right where I wanted to go. you jump right on it, and I appreciate that, you know, using the word to get there, you know, because it does. It takes the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, to allow us to love unconditionally, to allow us to turn the other cheek, so to speak, when you have to. Because our flesh, we know our flesh would not allow us to love unconditionally and allow us to love the way that we should. But because His Spirit dwells in us, and His Spirit is an intercessor for us, you know, and which allows us, and our relationship with Him allows us to be able to love the way that He loves us.
Right. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Let me piggyback. I knew Taylor was going to get excited about that, that scripture right there. And that's so important. That goes back to what I was saying, the scripture I gave a few moments ago. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And as Elder Taylor just stated, without the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, there's no way you're going to love the right way. You will have that filial, that brotherly type. Yeah, you know, because when Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He said, "Yeah, I love you." And a few of those, I think it was three different times, and the love that Peter was expressing in the Greek was more of the brotherly, "I'm fond of you, you know, you're okay, you know, you know," and that type of love is based on what you've done for me lately. You know, I love you because you took me shopping, or I love you because you gave me a little piece of money, you know, that type of love. But it's more than that when you're looking in the Spirit, when you're looking by the Spirit, and then you recognize that each human has a soul. They have a spirit and they have a soul. And when you can look beyond how they act in the natural and look into the spirit realm, that will help you understand that there is a soul at stake. So instead of you giving up on them, you giving up and saying, "Well, it ain't no hope." No, you're looking beyond that natural. Yeah, they cussed you out. Yeah, they mistreated you. You know, I mean, join the party. We've all been mistreated, you know. But when you're looking in the spirit, you look beyond the natural and you look in the spirit of that person, and then you recognize the soul. And because you love the soul, because you understand it's a life and death, it's an eternity at stake, heaven and hell, then you can bypass all the little nonsense, all the little fleshly stuff, and you can really reach out and minister to the soul. Okay? Because what did God do? He looked beyond all our faults and saw our need. So, y'all working tonight. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's good. And you know, when you were saying discipleship, it reminded me of discipline, being disciplined in the word. And what happens
right.
is we are disciplined in the word, we renew our mind. So we don't rehearse the things that the person did to us. We begin to rehearse
right.
the word of God to renew
yes.
our minds so that when we do see them on tomorrow, we can love them.
Yes.
If they were at a job or if they were at the grocery store and you know that you're going to see them again, you don't rehearse those things over and over again, what they said that may have offended you.
There you go.
So you,
wow.
You renew yourself in the word of God, and you do that with the Holy Spirit, because then you can get up and say, you know what, I forgive them. And release that bond that you had of anger, because you got to rehearse anger. You really do. You have to rehearse.
Yeah.
You have to
Come
rehearse.
On.
Hurt. You got to rehearse those things. You got to keep going over and over in your mind what they did. So every time you see them, cringe. But see, when you rehearse the word of God,
wow.
love, then you can
wow.
you can be loose from that anger and that hurt and that pain. Amen. That's good,
Woo-hoo.
Pastor.
Woo-hoo.
We're going to go on to verse 14. Once again, we are at 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 21, and we are down at verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We're the example. We're the example. We testify by the life that we live to others.
Yes.
We
yes.
testify with our very life, the presence and power of Christ in the life of a believer is the most important sign of a relationship with him. Those who can see the influence of godly love in our lives can be confident that they are part of the family of God. People are looking for people who are walking in holiness. They're looking for people who are walking in holiness. They're looking for people who are walking in a relationship with God. Those are the people that they know, I need you to pray with me. You're not going to say, okay, yeah, I pray for you. You're going to go ahead and pray for them right on the spot. You're going to go ahead and encourage them right on the spot. You're going to go ahead and give them what thus said the Lord and not your opinion. Our lives give the testimony that God is there. So that goes to me have a question for every Christian out there. What is your life giving a testimony to? What does your life testify to? Especially if you say that you are a Christian. Does
yes.
your life testimony that you are of Christ? Does anybody have anything to say about verse 14?
My sister, I tell you what, we might just have to pick this up on Friday night. But what comes to my mind, we know the scripture says faith without works is dead. I would
right.
like to not to add to the scriptures, not to take away, but to just say love without works. Love without works is dead. How is that?
Yeah.
Well, for God so loved the world that he gave.
Mm.
That was the work. That was the work.
Right.
He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It did us no good for Jesus to love us and to have stayed. That wouldn't have helped us. So there had to be, along with faith without works, there had to be love without works. What did he do? He had to take on flesh. He who knew
right.
no sin took on flesh, took on the consequences of being born in the flesh. And all of that came with him taking on the flesh to him being bruised and beaten, as I stated a moment ago, and chastised, and all these different things was his works that was manifested by his love. His love toward us, in that God commendeth, or he showed his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, or let's put it this way, while we were yet sinning, Christ died. This is, I mean, oh, Lord, help me tonight. Christ died for us, not knowing if we would accept him or not. So he says, I'm going to die for you just in case you choose to live for me. Oh, man, who wouldn't, come on, y'all, who wouldn't serve a God that's saying, I'm gonna take the punishment for everything that you have done? Remember, Old Testament, once a year, the high priest, they had to go into the Holy of Holies, and, you know, throughout the year, there was different sacrifices that had to be done. But when sacrifices and offerings was no more pleasing, oh, bless his name, I'm about to get happy, I'm about to run in my neighborhood, when they was no more pleasing, when it could no longer satisfy God because of the sins of man, Christ came and he died once and for, Lord, I'm getting happy. Lord, help me tonight. Yeah. He died once and for all for mankind. Yeah. And no longer do we have to go through a high priest, Elder Oliver. We don't have to worry about a jurisdictional bishop that we have to answer to. No longer do we have to worry about a district superintendent. We don't have to even worry about a presiding bishop that we have to answer to. We can go directly to God. We don't have to go sit in and confess to no priest. We can confess our faults one to another, and we can go directly to God through Jesus Christ, that makes intercession along with the Holy Ghost on our behalf. So those people that want to say who you under, just tell them you under the Holy Ghost. Tell them you under the anointing of Jesus Christ. And tell them, see, what happens is we get so caught up in traditional, we get so caught up in organization that we miss the anointing, and we miss what God says through his word. Lord, help me tonight. Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead, Evangelist Stan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor. That's good. Go ahead.
I was just saying we get caught up in religion.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
religion.
Preacher. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Elder.
I'm just going to leave that right there.
Yes, that's good.
Thank you. Thank you for your love. We're going to go on to verse 15. Once again, we are 1 John chapter 4. We're on verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And that's simply us making a confession with our mouth. There's a scripture, Romans 10:9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I love that it says that you have to make a confession. You need to speak this out loud. You need to let the atmosphere know. You need to let the devil know. You need to let your family members know that you speaking this out loud, that you believe that he is Lord, that you believe that he is the Son of the living God. And I like it, too, because when you talk out loud, faith cometh by hearing, and you hearing yourself say it. You hearing yourself say it also. That you believe that he is Lord, that he is Jesus, that he is the Son of the living God, that he died for your sins. You confess that out of your mouth. Because think about it. You say a whole lot of stuff with your mouth.
Yes.
But this is going to be the greatest thing that you're going to say. You build a lot of things with your mouth. The word says, it's like fruit. Whatever comes out, it may be rotten fruit or it's going to be good fruit.
Yeah.
Because it's coming
Amen.
Out of that mouth, coming out with that tongue. So I love it. It says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Does anyone have anything to say about verse 15?
I'm good. I'm still trying to calm down from the last verse.
I know, right? What'd you say, Elder Taylor?
I said you're cooking with gasoline.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I like that it says known and believed. His words, those words clearly state that both knowing and believing are important. Both to know and to believe are essential.
Yes.
In the life of Christian
yes.
believers. You must believe in Christ, who Christ really is, for salvation, but we must also know him through the obedience and fellowship. We have to know and believe.
Yes.
We got to have both of them. You know, you can't just have one of them and not the other. Because see, then,
right.
then I think sometimes says it, you know, he may be Lord, but is he master?
Right.
Is he Savior? You know, he may be Savior, but is he Lord over your
Savior,
life?
But is he Lord? Yeah, there you go. There you
he
go.
He may be Savior, but is he Lord? You know, you may,
right.
may confess, and you know, you said, okay, but is he Savior over your life? Does anyone have anything to say about that verse 16?
What comes to mind before Etta Taylor tried to take over, I'm thinking of when the scripture says that we are not just to be hearers of the word,
yeah.
but we also must be doers of the word. So not just hearers, not just hearers. That's symbolically to I want Jesus as my Savior.
Right.
I'm a hearer, but I'm not a doer,
right.
which means he's my master, he's my Lord. I'm a do whatever he says. I'm a do whatever he commands. So let's not just be hearers of the word, but let's be doers also. Thank you.
Amen. Elder Taylor, did you have anything you want to say about that verse?
No, I think Pastor covered it.
Amen. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. By loving others, as the example that Christ gave to us, there's love casting out fear. We enjoy God's love and live it out in serving others just like Jesus did. Jesus lived among people and he served and taught and prayed for those people that he lived among. And that's how our lives are supposed to be. It's supposed to be that example. People around us are needing the love of God. It may even be people in our own homes that need that love. And we're supposed to walk in that example no matter where we are at. In our homes, and especially our homes, because that's our first ministry.
Right,
our homes.
Right.
And then abroad, whether it's the grocery store, your job, the school, wherever it is. we're supposed to walk in that love. But we have to be mindful that Christ was an example for us. So we
right.
can walk that out in boldness. Does anyone have anything to say about verse 17?
No, you good.
And I actually kind of hit on it with verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is associated with punishment. The believer has been fully forgiven of sins. The one who knows Christ in true fellowship lives for him and does not need to fear future punishment. We don't have
That's
to
good.
Fear what people say about us, because that's been cast out with the love of Christ. And guess what? When you have Christ, that you know that you're going to dwell, so you don't have that fear. Whether people talk about you, whether they say, oh, you one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those. You know, because I don't have that fear that I had before I accepted Christ as my Savior. Because before, I didn't know where I was going. But now I know where I'm going. So I'm cool. I'm good with that. It's like that love of God keeps you and holds you. Verse 19.
Amen.
We love him because he first loved us. You know, we didn't wake up and before we accepted a Savior and said that we loved him. But he loved us first, even in the state that we were in, even in the state that we are in. He loves you. He loved you first. And then we begin to learn about that love when we've made that confession. Does anyone have anything to say about verse 19?
Yeah, I like
you know, I'm. Go ahead, Taylor. Go ahead, Taylor.
I was just going to say, you know, it's because until he loved us, that's the only way that we were able to love back. Until he was Jesus per se, he showed us how to love. He showed us, you know, through his word, because we never seen him in this day and time. But back when he walked the earth, you know, he showed them what it means to love. He showed them how
yeah.
to care for each other and how to take care of each other. And he just didn't show, he just didn't do it by saying, you know, I love y'all, but he
right.
never showed it. He
right.
always showed it by the things,
yeah.
not just by what he said, but the things that he did. And because
yes,
he
sir.
Loved us, and because he loved us the way that he did, it allowed us to reciprocate that love back, not only to him,
right.
but to everyone that's around us, you know, everybody that's around us. So that's good, Evangelist Stan. You're doing a good, great job. Good message.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
So we're going to combine verses 20 and 21. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this mm-hmm. commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Like I said in the beginning, we have got to look at love in a different way. We can't just continue to say that we love and we're really not loving. We talked about loving in action, loving from the heart, loving with forgiveness, loving with the word, loving with encouragement. And there's people around you that you don't even like. Some of them may even be in your family. There may have been some disagreements. that you've had, and now you won't even speak to your family members, but yet you say that you love God. How do you think God looks at that? How do you think God sees that? And you're saying that you love him, and you get into his presence. You go in to pray, or you pray, and you want God to do something on your behalf, but yet you holding that ought in your heart against your brother.
Watch that, good.
When God doesn't do something on your behalf, then you become angry with God. Well, if you forgive and love your brother
Watch
who
it.
You see, then those things could be released. But until then, the word even says, you a liar. That's what you are. You
yes.
a liar.
Yes.
So you going in the presence of God lying, saying, God, I love you, but yet you have this ought against your brother. I want to encourage everybody that's listening on tonight. First of all, I want to encourage you that God loves you. Second of all, I want to encourage you that if you do have some ought against your brother, try to reconcile that. And if you can't, forgive. Even if you can't get to your brother, forgive. Stop rehearsing that ought
right.
over and over in your heart. So I'm just encouraging everybody on tonight. God loves you. He sent his son just for you. He died upon the cross for you. He took the beating for you. He bled. He hung there for you. He loves you, so you are loved. Don't ever think you are not loved, because you are loved, and you are lovable, and you are worth it. And he gave us the greatest action that anybody could ever give, and that was himself upon the cross. And I said,
yes.
praise God, that it didn't stop right there. It didn't stop right there, but he got up.
Come on. Yeah.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus, because it makes you whole. It makes you new. It gives you the strength that you need from day to day. The love of God is like no other. Does anyone on the panel have anything else to say before we close out the Bible study on today?
I tell you what, before Ella Taylor tried to take over again, another scripture came to mind, my sister, when you were just talking about that, and you used that powerful word, forgiveness. And what came to mind was the model or module prayer. In the model prayer, it states, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And some say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And what that is simply saying is, in order for God to forgive you your sinful acts or, you know, your wayward ways, you have to be forgiving your fellow man. Okay? If you're not forgiving and you're holding on to everything, then you hold up the hand of God and the heart of God to forgive you. Because once again, how can you say you love God whom you've never seen, but you yet hate your brother whom you see every day? It doesn't go like that. So how do we minister to God is by ministering to the people, to God's people. Me and my wife and those on the panel, the leadership team, we could have used the excuse, well, we can't go to church. You know, I can't preach unless I'm in my pulpit, and the members are there, and unless I'm getting my pastoral offerings, you know, as I normally would get. And y'all could have said the same thing. Pastor, I can't do this teaching over the radio. I need to be on the microphone, you know. I need for the people to see us. We could have made that excuse. But because we love people, We love, we understand, we serve God by serving his people. We love God by showing love to his people. We say, okay, Elder Oliver has a radio show. Elder Oliver, let's start doing, can we do Bible study? And from what I heard just listening to D&K Bible study on last night, every show that that Chaos Block Talk Radio has throughout the week, there's an average of 2,000 souls that's listening in. So we went from a Tuesday night Bible study where we could have been limited to just having it in the church of about 30 people on a Tuesday night, that now we are reaching approximately 2,000 people every Tuesday night. There's 2,000 people that's hearing Evangelist Stanton on a Tuesday night, 2,000 people hearing Elder Blewett, hearing Elder Taylor, from a normal 30 or 40 people to now thousands of people. And not only that, Friday night, Sunday, I could have said, hey, I got to preach in front of a lot of people. We got to have, it's got to be live. But no, in my garage, in our garage, me and my family, we still serve the word. And that's the way we're serving God, by serving his people. Hundreds of people through Facebook Live and another several thousand on the Chaos Block Talk Radio every Friday and Sunday morning. Thousands of people, thousands of souls. God has opened up this door that when we was probably reaching a couple of hundred, we are reaching several thousands on a weekly basis. And all I want to say is, to God be the glory for the things he has done. That's it.
As usual, I think, Pastor done said it all again. I don't think nothing else needs to be said after that.
Hey, listen, Praise Tabernacle. We are often imitated, but we're never duplicated. We are international. We are international. And that's just by the grace of God. We didn't look for no excuse, but we look for reasons. And God sent us Elder Oliver by way of his precious wife, Keisha Oliver, by way of the Holy Ghost Tabernacle Church. And it's marvelous in our sight. And we're grateful to God that God knows my heart. If I never get back in the building, that does not mean that the word is not going forth. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful to God that even now I pastor a church that has no walls. There's a church, I think, in Florida, and it's called the Without Walls Church. But we literally have a church without walls. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm about to get happy again, is going forth all over the world. We're not just located in Lawrenceville. We got folks calling and reaching out from Alaska, from Africa, from India, from all over the world, just through us, this small church. But we have a huge ministry, and I thank God for what he's doing in this season. Even though it's difficult, it may be changing, and it may not seem the same. Not on a building, but my hope is you. Oh, nothing less than Jesus Christ, his blood, and his righteousness. Amen. I think I'm through, unless I get happy again.
So? Get him, Holy Ghost.
You can talk loud. We spent for tonight.
Oh, you through? Okay. I'll tell you what. My God, what a word. The saints are texting me now, talking about amen, amen. They are excited once again about this Bible study. And I tell you, I'm so elated just to me and my precious wife, we're out now just walking through the neighborhood and thanking God and just Oh, I tell you, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God we serve. You know, we just thank you, Evangelist Stanton, for such a great, impactful, and powerful word on tonight. Thank you, Elder Taylor, for being a part.
Yes,
as always, we miss Elder Bluette on tonight, miss him. Before we close on tonight, there are several people that we want to pray for. We want the saints to be in prayer. I found out just over the past week, and specifically about 2 days ago, that I actually have two of my aunts, my mother's two baby sisters, both have the virus, the COVID-19. And that's my Auntie Yvonne and my Auntie Georgette. They both are battling the COVID-19 as we speak. And also another lady that I've been knowing pretty much all my life through my home church, First Lady Inez Roberts. We got word that she was just put on a ventilator and different things. So we want to specifically First Lady Yvonne Wright, Sister Georgette Scott, those are my two aunts, also First Lady Inez Roberts, and Overseer Nick Wilson. These are some of the ones that we know personally that are fighting the virus. And we want the saints of God to pray for them. We also want to continue be in continuous prayer for the Bluette family, Sister Asha, the Bluette family, my nephew, Brother Adore, and the Tate family. And there are several others, the Martin family, several others that we want you to continue to pray for. Meet us back here Friday night at 7 o'clock with Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. And there is another word from the Lord. We used to say every round goes higher. And on Friday night, if the Lord delays coming, we'll be preaching from the subject, Knock, Knock, Who's There? Knock, Knock, Who's There? On this Friday night. So meet us back here. Praise Tabernacle. We thank you. We love you. You ought to be so glad and so excited for the leadership team that God has blessed us with. That is not just the pastor that can deliver a quality and a convicting word, but you have ladies, you have women in the dedicated that can deliver a word from the Lord. And we are so grateful. We don't have to worry about politics. We don't have to worry about cutting each other down to lift ourselves up, but we do it together. We lift up the name of Jesus together. Nobody's trying to outdo the other. No one has to slander the other to make themselves look good. But God has given us such a great body of believers, such a great fellowship, that even in these changing times, the word of God is still going forth. And the truth of the matter, we're preaching and teaching harder now than we were when we was all together. So we thank God for it. And as we pray on tonight, those all over the world that are listening to this broadcast, we pray that God will continue to touch your heart and mind, and that you be encouraged. Father, we thank you on tonight. Thank you for allowing us one more opportunity as we get ready to leave this place, leave this fellowship service, but not your presence. We pray that you will continue to give us the heart and mind to love each other. Love our enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use us and say all manner of evil against us falsely. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us to love our friends. Help us to love our enemies. And it's in Jesus' name. And as we always do, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you. See you on Friday night. Be blessed. Woo-hoo-hoo!